learned by the experience of others. We have looked at the first phrase of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. We're taking it phrase by phrase. You know, we talked about the great cloud of witnesses. You're not alone. We could run this race well because we have others to look upon on how to run this race. And then today, we're going to look at the second of the series, People Who Thrive Know Their Calling in Christ. This is now our scripture for today. We'll take it at this phrase, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Let us read it together aloud. Let us run with endurance the race set before us. This morning, we're going to meditate on that part of the verse alone. What does this verse mean to us? The race or the contest that is marked for us. What does the race that is marked out for us mean? How do we know for sure what we need to do to run that race? You know, that race that is marked out for us. How do we ensure that we are going to win in this race of life that we are going to? Isirit ko na po, mga kapatid. The bottom line of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 is that you should never give up. You should endure to the end. Say that to your neighbor sa katabi mo. Never give up. Never give up the faith. Endure to the end. You run the race well. So let us go back to the first question. What is this race in the first place? Tungkol saan ba itong karera na ito? Well, it is a race of life where the winners are those who kept on to the faith from the beginning to the end. Yun lang ang ibig sabihin ng race na to. You patiently endured, faithful to Christ from the beginning to the end, regardless of the challenges and the obstacles you face in your life. Actually, the Greek word, let me go into the Greek again, because the Bible, the New Testament, is written in Greek. The Greek word for race that is used here can be translated as conflict or contest. And then, of course, when you read words that are ambiguous in meaning, you look into the whole sentence and the whole paragraph and try to find out which shade of meaning is the author using. And since the author put this word for race in the context of running, so therefore he's not talking about conflict or contention. He is talking about competition or contest. So, since the writer here mentioned running, it must be a contest of runners. It is running with perseverance. He used the word perseverance. And this gives us a clue that the writer is not talking about a sprint, a 100-meter dash. He was talking about a long-winded marathon. And in a marathon, anyone who finishes the race well is a winner. You know, the first one, the top three, would be as much will be honored in the same way, in the same manner as all of those who have finished the race. So it is not a race of who will be the first. It's not a race of who is the fastest, the strongest, and the best. It is the race. It is being in the race of the faithful. So what race is this? It is a race of those who find complete sufficiency in Jesus, who himself is the pioneer and perfecter of faith. As I have mentioned to you last week, the end of this race is that day when we are gathered together and he calls you by name and he's simply going to commend you. Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, that's the greatest honor that each of us should be striving for. And we know we thrive when we are confident that we are going to receive such. So this is how the race is defined. Now, Let us take a look deeper on that phrase, the race marked out for us. Looking at other translations, you know, in NIV, it is race marked out for us. If you use the King James Version or the New King James Version, the phrase is translated as the race is set before us. And then in the New Living Translation, it is the race God has set before us. Bakit ko pinapakita itong mga iba't ibang translation? May ine-emphasize dito in an agreement ang mga translators on what this race means. The phrase really gives two sense of meaning. Again, if you study words in the Bible together, it gives you shades of meaning. Sometimes it will emphasize one or it will emphasize the other, and many times it would emphasize both. And this time I see that it emphasizes both. And what are these sense of meaning? Well, first, it is a sense of assignment. An assignment. We are destined by God to run this race. Okay? Tinawag tayo ng Panginoon. Assignment natin ito. Hindi ito aksidente where you are right now. You are in the race because it is part of your calling as a Christian. It's about our election and the mission that God has for in this world and He invites you to participate in. And then second, it has a sense of stages. Our calling and identity. This sense would bring our part and our strategy for winning. You know, it will help us understand what are we going to do? How are we going to do it? How are we going to win this stage of the race? Alam po ninyo kung alam yung event ng 400 meter dash na may four runners and they bring a baton. Each one has to do his part well, you know, in order to make the whole team win. Let's take a deeper look at the meaning of this phrase. Each of the meaning of this phrase, a sense of assignment, a sense of stages. So, in the sense of the assignment, when countries send delegates to the Olympic Games, marami pong delegado yan. In fact, isa sa mga pinakakonti po at Pilipinas. Ang pinakamarami magpadala ay United States, China, Russia, and many other big countries. Pero they always send delegates by the numbers, by the dozens. At bago pa man sila dumating sa Olympic Games, bawat delegate po, malinaw na po sa kanila kung ano ang event nila. The boxers will find themselves in the ring. The swimmers will find themselves hitting the water. The runners, you know, they will go into the track and field. The gymnasts, they will perform as gymnasts. And not the other way around. Uy, nagkasakit yung runner natin. Pwede ba, boxer, ikaw ang tumakbo? Uy, nagkasakit yung swimmer natin. Pwede ba, pole vaulter, ikaw na ang lumangoy? Hindi po yun. You know, each one has already, it's predetermined. And each one has prepared themselves well according to who they are, according to the talent, according to their strengths. And they are to compete in that race. Alam po ninyo, dito po sa aking kamay, at the back of my left hand is a wound. And it reminds me of an experience of winning the race. Ano po yun? Nung elementary po ako, Boy Scout po ako. And I was part, and I'm a proud part, it's part of my pride, Boy Scouting of Trinity College of Quezon City. However that means to you, I feel good about it. You know, dun sa Boy Scouting namin, nung elementary kami, we always enter into contest. Yung bawat kawan ng malaking troop namin, pinagko-compete kami sa isa't isa. Who will be the best squad of the year? And doon sa aming squad, doon sa aming kawan, yung leader namin, binibigyan kami ng assignment. Depende kung saan kami magaling. Halimbawa, yung ilang kasama ko, nilagay sila sa first aid. Yung ilang kasama ko, nilagay sa tent building, pagtatayo ng tolda, yung titirahan ng mga Boy Scout. Yung iba naman nasa not tying, yung mga pagtatali ba? And yours truly, cooking. And by the way, ano yung event ng cooking na yon? Simple lang. We are supposed to present a hard-boiled egg in the shortest possible time by using only one piece of wood. Yung kahoy na yon ay galing pa sa upuan ng isang sirang upuan ng eskwelahan namin binigay sa akin. At saka tatlong pirasong posporo. Dapat hanggang tatlong pirasong posporo lang magamit mo. A small piece of paper, a can of water, and raw egg. And guess what? I'm telling you, that's one of my sweet memories of winning. Napanalo ko ang team namin dahil doon. Okay? Kaya huwag niyo nang tanungin sa akin, bakit ka nagkahilig magluto? That's one of the things that brought me into this. So, this is how the Lord has set this. The race that is marked out for us. Each one of us has an assignment in the Lord. Paano yun, Pastor? Paano nangyayari yung calling na yan at assignment na yan? Tignan natin kung ano yung tinuturo ng New Testament. Let's take a deep look on how God gave us this assignment in this life race. Consider these words from Jesus. John chapter 15, verse 16. It says there, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit." Or to paraphrase, Jesus said, "I appointed you, I assigned you to what? To run and finish the race," if I'm going to paraphrase in this. In other words, it has the sense of fulfilling our assignment from God. We have an assignment. We have a race to run. I have shared with you my story many times when how I became to be a pastor. It was really a negotiation when God told me, "You submit all, you surrender all of your plans and your ambitions to my hand." And it is already a challenge of lordship. You know, because prior to that, as a young person, when I was in college, I thought the Christian life is simply this: God, here are my plans. God, this is what I want to do. I want you to bless it. Sign your name here. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. And God will say, "I am the Lord. I am the boss. I am your creator. This is your assignment." And it is up to us, you know. It's a function of a relationship with God. So, I'd like you to read this verse. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, if you read through Ephesians chapter 1, you'll have an appreciation of what election and predestination is. It says there, "He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption." So even before you became born again, bago ka pa naging child of God, alam na ng Diyos yun. You know, adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. Sa totoo lang, I went through seminary and have read many books and have read many podcasts. Election and predestination is still a tricky concept in the Bible to have my finite mind wrap around it. Siguro pagdating ng sa langit, tatanungin ko talaga, lecturean talaga ako ng Diyos dito. Ano nga ba? How does it work? You know, it may seem that on this world, we are the ones who made the decision to receive Christ, to repent of our sins, to be born again. Parang tayo, gawa natin decision. But as soon as we have been born again and we look back and we look at the Bible, we begin to see, hey, God saying to us, "Hey, akala mo lang yun. Pero nung bago ka pa pinanganak, yung pagkatao mo nasa isip ko na. Your destiny nasa isip ko na yan. And even if you became aware of my presence, I've been journeying with you." So, and this leads me to the second fact, second reality that we experience concerning this race. And what is that? That the sovereign God knows us through and through. to appoint us to this race. Psalm 139 verses 1 to 3. It says here, "You have searched me, Lord, and you have and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." What is the psalmist saying? You are familiar with all my ways. What is the psalmist saying? God knows you through and through. Ano implication nun for us being in this race of life? It simply means we have a good training coach. Ano yung training coach? You know, I had an experience to be a fake training coach in one day in my life. Many years back, I used to go regularly doon sa Amoranto Stadium to swim. Alam nyo bang may magandang Olympic size swimming pool doon, 50 by 20? I love that pool. And I'm so glad a couple of years ago, Quezon City decided to renovate it. Pero dalawa, tatlong taon na and I'm still praying na magbubukas yun. But I go to that pool regularly. And in one of my going to that pool, suddenly na-realize ko, maraming mga tao. And the place looks festive. Ah, may contest. May singing contest. Singing. Swimming contest. Hindi singing. Ano. Let me go into it. And let me watch. And I went to the bleachers and then a familiar voice called me. Isa sa mga pamangkin ni Bolen, si Risa. Tito George. Tito George, I think she was in grade school noon, grade 4, grade 5. Tito George, Tito George. Oh, yeah, nandyan ka. I want to join the race. Okay, so you're participating in the race. Kaya lang kailangan daw sa registration, may tatay yung training coach. Can you be my training coach? Sige ba, I want to see you race. Pirma-pirma naman ako. You know, nung dumating event nila, tumalon itong mga batang ito. The other kids were really good in swimming. Risa, she was struggling hard. Struggling hard. She barely reached the 50-meter point. It's supposed to be a 100-meter race. Balikan yun. And at the end of the pool, one of the umpires picked her out and immediately he brought him to me, glaring at me. Training coach ka? Bakit mo hinayaan ang batang ito? Halos malunod na. You don't know what you are doing. And that is where I came to realize what is the role of a good training coach? They know their players through and through. Ano yung kakayanan nila? Ano yung limitations nila? They train them so that they could improve. Improve. They can be better in what they are called to do. You know what? God knows you through and through. And He is not just an employed training coach where you pay Him and He does His job. He does it because He cares for you. He is a loving Father. He knows you well. He knows you through and through. He knows what you can do. He knows your limitation. He knows what you cannot do. And He works out for you to improve well in your life. That is how our God works when He gives us an assignment. You know, the third fact of this race is that the sovereign God will help us in our race. Pastor, hindi ba cheating yun? Lalaro ka, tapos may tutulong sa'yo. Alam niyo mga kapatid, nalimutan niyo ba yung concept ng playing coach? Sa bagay, hindi niyo na maalala si Jawo. Naalala niyo pa ba yun? Robert Jaworski, PBA, playing, at siya rin ang nagko-coach. Sa totoo lang, ganun ang ating Panginoon. And by the way, the rules of this game, called the race of life, it's a game where the playing coach, where you could be constantly coached. That is what the race is all about. It is not cheating because in this race of life, God is our teammate. God is our playing coach. It is a race about living by faith in Christ. It is a race about how do we be dependent on God. Immediately you are defeated and you are disqualified when you begin to run this race by being dependent on yourself, dependent on your talents, dependent on your wealth, dependent on anything else other than the Lord your God. And sometimes in this world, you know, people will applaud you. Ang galing mo! You're the best! Wow, ang yaman mo! Nakakaingit ka! But looking at God, you know, that's not the race of life that I want you to run. This is about what it means to walk by faith and not by sight. Take note of the statement from the Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He says there, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Look at this verse. Jesus began a good work in you. That was the time you were born again. And how were you born again? You came to realize you cannot be saved by your own good works, by your own merit, by your own ability. You need to trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross. It is by grace and by grace alone you are saved. And hallelujah, as a result of receiving Christ in your life, you have received eternal life. You're now part of God's kingdom. And now it says there, you have to carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What does it mean? You begin your Christian life in that way, by grace, relying on Jesus Christ alone. What God expects us to do is that we continue to live our lives that way. Faith without religion, faith without the law, faith without good works, faith in Christ alone, in His grace alone. And He expects us to live and to continue in our lives in that manner. You know, relying on the fact, the reality of the gospel. Kaya lang nangyayari sa mga atin eh, okay, you were saved by faith in Christ alone. Pagdating sa Christian life, okay, faith in God plus my good works. Faith in God plus my experience. Faith in God plus my ability. Faith in God plus my wealth. Faith in God plus my education. Ano yan? I can hear the Apostle Paul scolding the church. Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? So when Paul prays for the church, you know, he's praying that we will be able not only to receive the gospel, but to live it out in our lives, day by day, up until the end. That is what the race is all about. And you know what? And there is a promise that assures us of victory over the challenges we face day by day. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 is an example. It says there, no temptation or no trials has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. Hindi ka nag-iisa, kapatid. God knows what's going on in your life. And it also says there, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, when you're going to trials, when you're going to difficulties, He will also what? Provide a way out. That's why He is a playing coach. He will be involved with your life. You're struggling hard on what it means to live out the gospel in your life. Go back to Jesus. That's what God is saying. Go back to Jesus. And He will help you out what it means to continue on, to pursue this walk of faith. And then still, it is important to know that we are indeed called and assigned to this race. God predestined us to be part of this race. And it is also important to know that there are stages in this race of life. That's why po, bawat stage, nagkakaiba po yung mga strategy natin. Ang sabi nga nung phrase, the race that is marked out for us, it implies a sense of stages. Alam po ninyo, sa lahat ng contest, kung nag-a-analyze po kayo, may mga stages yan. Yung mga coaches may strategy yan. Sa basketball, they have a strategy on what to do in every quarter of the game. And even in the last 10 minutes, even in the last 2 minutes, and even in the last 2 seconds, nagsishift yan ng strategy. Yung mga boxers, ako mahilig manood ng boxing, kahit mga lumang away, boxing ni Pacquiao, you know. And you will see, there are distinct stages. Every round, they have a strategy. Pinaplano, pinag-iisipan ng husto yun. At ganun din po tayo in long distance running competition. Hindi lang yan, tungkol sa takbo ng takbo. I learned from my son who is a training coach. Sabi ko, how fast do you run? Yeah, typically, you know, I fast 10 kilometers per hour. But if I know it's a trail run, it's a 32-kilometer run, or it's a 40-kilometer run, I will taper it down to 7.5 or even to 6. Babagalan ko in order to finish the race. Merong mark yan eh. Every stage. Pastor, so what we are saying is this. Without understanding the stages of where we are, we will get lost and even lose the chance of winning. So people who thrive know who they are and where they are in their life in Christ. Alam nila yan. Alam mo dapat kung anong stage ka. And therefore, you know what it means to walk with Christ in that stage. Let us take a look at some realities. Next slide, please. You know, life has its stages. In our lifespan, we start as infants and toddlers. We become children. We become older children. We become adolescents. And then we become young adults. And after young adults, we become, suddenly you experience middle age crisis, middle adults. And after the middle age crisis, you become senior adults. And then, of course, I don't know what's the next of that, but perhaps pre-departure area, tawag na ibang ba, pero that's it. That's the common lifespan na meron natin. So anong ibig sabihin nito? Alam po ninyo, in each stage of life development, God deals with us differently. As a parent deals with their children differently in their each of their stage in your life. Mga magulang, nung sanggol ba ang inyong bata, ang inyong anak? Nagmumultiplication table na ba kayo with them? No. You know, you deal with them. Puro kuminsan, mga baby talk pa, gaga, gugugo, mama, yung mga ganon, ano? So, you deal with them depending on their stage of life. You deal with them helping them grow and mature in their particular stage of life. Ganon din po ang ating Diyos. That's why we call Him the Father in Heaven. He knows what stage we are and He deals with us according to that stage. And then another thing, as I've mentioned, God knows the path that we are supposed to take. Early on in our life, He has already defined us even when we were not yet aware of who He is. He appointed us to our families. You are born as a Filipino. You are born in that family. You are born with that family speaking that language. You are born in that social stature in your family. It doesn't mean to say you will remain that way, but that will help you define who you are at this moment in your life, and God is aware of that. And then another thing, another beautiful thing here. In whatever stage in your life you are right now, God always calls back you back to Himself. You, even my apo, who is only 7 months old, I know God wanted him for Himself, but there's a way for him to experience the loving Father in heaven. And in each stage, whether children, that's why we have Sunday schools here, and I thank you, children's ministers, being able to do that. Sunday school teacher, children's kids ministry, you know, you deal and minister to children in a manner as God would also minister to them. And also for the youth. And also for the young adult. And anong implication nito? Alam po ninyo, isang masaklap na nangyayari at nakikita ko po sa mga ibang mga kaibigan natin. For example, you know, they came to know Christ when they were 6 years old. And now they are young adults, they are professionals, they are well-educated. And they begin to say, and you talk about Christian faith, they will say, oh, that was my kindergarten faith. Kasi nung araw, takot ako sa dilim. At nung natatakot ako sa dilim, nakita ako ng auntie ko na Christian siya, and she shared Christ with me. Mawawala raw yung takot ko. And it's a nice experience. I lost my fear of darkness because of that story of Christ. But now, I know better. You know, wala naman nandyan sa dilim eh. If you hear such kind of straight statement from a young adult who used to have a Christian background when they were young, they've lost it. I'm not saying they lose salvation. Huwag niyo ako i-accuse ng ganun. But what I am saying is that this is a sign that they have gone nominal in their faith. Bakit nagiging nominal? Alam po ninyo, they failed to renew the meaning of the gospel in the stage ng buhay nila. Sa bawat stage po ng buhay, binabalikan pa rin ang gospel. In fact, you know, it may mean receiving Christ again. I'm not saying, you know, you receive him multiple times, but it is reflecting. What does the gospel mean in this stage of my life? And this is the reason why many of us fall into nominalisms. Because they failed to respond to the calling of God to go back to Him at that stage of His life. Kaya po dito sa CCBC, kapi po mga pastors. You know, when you go through the stages, not only we celebrate with you. Halimbawa, nanganak, we celebrate with you. Kinasal ka, we celebrate with you. Graduate ka, we celebrate with you. Mamatay ka, we celebrate with you. You're doing the funerals. Pero we recognize those stages. Alam po ninyo, ito ang gusto ko sabihin. Ano? There are people who will come to us and say, Pastor, you know, we want to dedicate, pabinyagan namin yung anak namin sa iyo. Okay. We'll do it. But on one condition, you go through this seminar with us, with me. Why? What's the purpose of that seminar? And then when they go through that seminar, it's simply redefining the gospel for that stage in their life because we know once they begin to have kids in their life, nagkakaroon ng pagbabago yan. Ibang challenge sa buhay. Masishaken yung lifestyle nila. Dati active sila sa youth. Dati ang lagi silang tumatayo rito, nagpapaawit. Dati-dati, ano sila, very, very active sa gawain, tinitingnan. Ang dami na di-disciples. And then suddenly, they have to make ends meet. Suddenly, they have a boss to please out there in the corporate world. Suddenly, they have to catch up to be able to meet to pay the rent sa kanilang bahay. And many other things. I know their faith will be shaken up and they have to establish that foundation again. Kaya rin po, dun sa mga nagpapakasal, we really advise them, go through pre-marriage. I call it pre-marriage coaching dahil it's not called premarital counseling anymore. It's for professional counselors. But still, it's the same. We help them focus on the gospel. Look and reflect in their lives. Look into the characters of the Word of God, the teachings of the Word of God. And it is essentially going back to the gospel. How to build your marriage life and home with the reality of the gospel of Christ. It's going back to the basic. It's going back to the cross of Christ. And that is what we ought to do in every stage of that life. So, we grow older and journey through another stage. We get married, we begin to have children, we begin to earn, make ends meet. We are hampered to join fellowships again. And then we begin to feel guilty. We don't do what we used to do. There are two paths, really, when we get into crossroads ng buhay natin, yung mga transitions na yan. What are those paths? Slide 23, guys. First, is the tendency to relegate your glorious past as past and justify that your family is your ministry. Okay? Nung nasa youth fellowship ako, oh, that's my glorious past as a Christian. Now is the reality of life that we are facing today. Just work hard, provide for them, be a good parent, and pray that they will be happy. Others will just dismiss it as a phase in their life, and this is now reality, and many of us on this stage will drift into nominalism. A sad picture. I pray, mga kapatid, na sana hindi ka ganoon. But there's a second alternative. And what is that? It is the opposite. And the alternative is that I should not allow anything to hamper the Christian life I knew. So yung pagkakaroon ko ng baby, it will take away the time for me to fellowship with my brethren, to make disciples out of my peers. Hayaan mo na yung baby na yan, and I continue on the ministry. You know, trying to live, there's no adjustment. Alam po ninyo, ano naman yun? Masyadong matindi ang denial. Ginamit pa yung Christian ministry to escape the responsibility. And you know what? Kung ganoon pa rin ang attitude, nagkakaroon ng, it will create a skewed understanding among the children when they grow up what it means to be a Christian. The third path is this. And this is the way we should go in every crossroad that we face when we go through the stages. And what is that? It is the path of what I call reconversion or renewal. You go back to the cross. You go back what it means to carry the cross of Christ in that stage of your life. Kung minsan po nasa short circuit yung stage na yon, alam niyo bakit? Suddenly, nagka-cancer ka. Suddenly, bumagsak yung business na mister mo. Suddenly, you know, there are so many things that happens in life. And it shakens up the foundation, the things that you're so familiar about. And you know what the New Testament teaches us? Go back to the cross of Christ. Cast all your burdens unto Him, for He cares on you. Yung panawagan na yun, hindi po ito yung bahala na si God. No. Hindi ito yung bahala na attitude. But it is coming to that point of redefining yourself on the basis of who God is. Katulad na nabanggit ni Riel kanina when she led us in song. You know, it is embracing who we are on who God is, in the light of who God is. Tama, Riel? And that's a beautiful statement. You embrace who you are at this moment. Ah, ang hirap is, Lord, bakit po ako binigyan ng cancer? Faithful naman ako sa inyo, nagtatites ako sa inyo, pupunta ako sa prayer meeting, nagli-lead ako ng Bible study and many other things. Instead of fighting it off, you know, we may want to just, okay, Lord, you're putting me into this race. I want to win it for you. I am embracing who I am in this stage of my life. So in this stage of your life contest, there may be new rules, new environment, new challenges, new roles, and the conventional ways we have learned from church fellowships may seem to be incompatible now with this stage in my life. Although I will not call it irrelevant. And I would advise you, brothers, go back and meditate on the words of the Apostle Paul. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, let's read it together. What does it say? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself for me. You see how the Apostle Paul runs the race. He constantly thinks about his identity in Christ, how he was crucified with Christ. And he always reminds himself about the life he lives right now. He lives by faith in the Son of God who is in him. Keep in mind that there will be diversions, distractions, and discouragements that will deconstruct the life that you knew very well. We need to decide to let Christ define who we are and determine the way we should go. That is how the race ought to be run. Alam po ninyo, nung pastor po ako sa Hong Kong, pastor po, naging pastor ako sa mga OFW. Marami doon, mga babae po, nagpunta para magtrabaho doon. Dumating po yung isang kapatid doon, and I'm sorry to use her accent at this point. Kinento niya sa akin na may isang member na aresto daw ng mga pulis. Lumapit siya sa akin, "Pastor, pastor, pastor, she was arrested because of hooking. She was arrested because she's a hooker." And, you know, as soon as I heard that, I was devastated. I excused myself from her. I went to a private place and just complained to God, "Lord, not at my watch, Lord, as a pastor, not at my watch that one of my disciples will become a prostitute. Lord, bakit nangyari ito? Ako ang nagpapastor sa kanila." Yun yung prayer ko noon. I was devastated. And when I was able to compose myself, I went back to this sister, to this lady. "Kapatid, pwede mo pa bang ikwento sa akin ano ba talaga nangyari?" "Pastor, nakastambay po siya sa Wan Chai. And I know that's a red light district." "Pagkatapos, in-approach po siya nitong Pakistani." "Oh, I have not putting Pakistanis, but they had a reputation doon sa Hong Kong. Na-approach siya. And what else happened?" "And the Pakistani persuaded her to sell these knock-off sunglasses." "Yung Ray-Ban ba? Na fake, class A." "Class A, okay." "And then what else?" "Eh, dun sa Wan Chai, pinagbibenta niya sa mga Pinay." "And then ano nangyari?" "Nakita siya ng police, inaristo siya." "Okay, so she was arrested for being a hooker." "She was arrested for being a hawker, not a hooker." Okay, nakahinga ako ng malaki. She was not aware of the law na bawal magtinda ng basta-basta doon sa bangketa. "And she's only selling sunglasses, not her body." "Not her body, sunglasses lang, Pastor, class A." "Okay, class A." But you know what? That experience caused me to look at how I measure up myself in terms of the ministry. I realized na yung identity ko, wala dun sa Panginoon na pinaglilingkuran ko. Not in the Lord, not on the Lord of the church. It was on the performance of my church. Now if they are behaving well, I am a good pastor. I am a successful pastor. And if they are not behaving well, I am a poor pastor. I will be devastated. My identity, sense of identity in that race was not with the Lord. It was how on my church, how they will perform. Personally, I struggle always with that. Measuring up myself with how my church, my disciples will perform. But it should not be that. Because this is the church of Christ. I should measure myself up on my walk with Him, my identity with Him. Let me give you an example again. Paano yung ibig sabihin nito? Hindi, buti na lang, hindi ako pastor, sasabihin ninyo. But I find this common naman, parents. Marami po sa mga magulang natin, you know, they try to be good parents, they try to raise up their kids well, and then suddenly, we'll hear stories of this. Nagwala si Junior. Si Junior nakabuntis. Ano reaction ng parents? Oh, typical reaction. Ang tanong ng mga magulang ay ito, "Junior, ano na lang ang sasabihin sa atin ng church? Ano sasabihin na lang ng mga kapitbahay? Alam nilang Christian tayo. Alam nila nagli-lead ako ng Bible study. Alam nila nagli-lead ako ng life group. Kahiyahiya ka! Ang laki kahihiyan ang dinala mo rito sa pamilya natin." Tama ba reaction yun? Kaya alam, parents, alam ko, ganun yung magiging tendency sa puso natin. Alam niyo mga kapatid, this is what I am learning from the Lord through His Word. Instead of worrying about losing face, about napapahiya ka dahil sa failure ng anak mo, or thinking that you're a failure as a father or as a mother dahil nakabuntis si Junior or nabuntis si daughter mo or something like that. I know it's painful, it's hard to bear. Why don't we see it as an invitation from God to grow, to be the kind of parent that your junior needs right now? Instead of praying and blaming yourself, saan ako nagkamali, Lord, sa pagiging magulang ko? Instead of blaming your son, saan ako nagkamali sa iyo? Rather, why not ask God, Lord, it has happened. And perhaps there are failures along the way. With my son, with myself, I admit that frailty. But this time, O God, can you teach me how to be that parent that Junior needs at this point? How can I shine Christ in my life to Him? Of course, you have bore all the shame on the cross, and I bear that cross, identifying with you. But I want to be like you in facing this problem, in facing this challenge, in facing this crisis in my life. We're talking about the race that is marked out for us. God has assigned you to be in that race. God knows you through and through. He loves you. He knows what you are capable of. He knows how can you grow and develop more. And by His sovereignty, He allows you to enter this race that is uniquely yours. Yes, many other people have gone ahead of you. Yes, you could learn from them. But we have a playing coach. We have someone who is with you. We have someone who will make a way for you. The call for us is this: go back to the cross of Christ. Let your identity be defined by who Christ is in your life. And that will tell how you are going to run that race.